Do you feel like life is demanding more than you have to give? Well, you're not alone, friend, but God wants to meet you at your point of need and be strong in your weakness. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study power for life. Stay with us. Do or where do you turn when life becomes overwhelming? A lot of people turn to painkillers, drugs, alcohol, escapism. But Jesus Christ wants you to turn to Him, and He offers you the Holy Spirit, a comforter, an indwelling presence of God that gives you power for life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California and features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, you can join us here or you can join us online at dailyintheword.org. Listen online to recent programs or subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take Daily in the Word with you via your phone or iPod or computer. Listen to it at your convenience. Today, we're studying power for life. I do want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There are two resources we want to highlight to you as we study this series. The first is a book by Dr. Chappell entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, a very close inspection and rediscovery of the Holy Spirit of God and His ministry in your life. If you'd like to take this series and go deeper, you're going to enjoy Living Beyond Your Capacity. Also, a new book by Dr. Chappell entitled The Burden Bearer, how you can give your burden to the true burden bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. A creative book, an allegory that will touch your heart and challenge and change your perspective on the burdens you're carrying today. This and much, much more, you can find out all about it at dailyintheword.org. Today, we study the final message in this series, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, the power to witness.
We have seen many different reasons for the giving of the Holy Spirit and many different functions of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. We have seen the Holy Spirit as our comforter. He is our guide. He is our teacher. We have seen the Holy Spirit causes us to bear fruit and to live our lives each and every day in His power and not in our own strength. But today we come to a verse that perhaps more than any other describes for us the purpose of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. Describes for us why Jesus said to His apostles, I'm going to leave you, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you powerless. And the work that I began is going to continue by My Spirit. In fact, notice in verse 1, a very interesting term. The Bible says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. You see, Luke, the human author of the book of Acts, is speaking of the fact that he had written before about the works that Jesus had begun. But now in the book of Acts, we are going to see those works continuing, even as Jesus ascends up into heaven. The work of the gospel, the establishing of the church, is going to keep on keeping on by the ministry of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit Himself. And it is in this text, Acts 1:8, that we hear the last command of Jesus Christ, and that command is that ye shall be witnesses. And it is our conviction this morning at the Lancaster Baptist Church that His last command should be our first priority. The last command of Jesus should be the first priority of the church. The last command was given in another passage, and it's in your notes there, Matthew 28, verse 18, which says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway. Notice that verse number 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word power there is the word exousia. It speaks about God's power over the demonic realms in this world. How many of you know that Satan does not want the gospel to be spread? Satan interferes the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And yet Jesus said, I have all power. I have power over all the angelic beings, over all the fallen angels, over all of the demonic powers that will oppress you. Jesus said, I have all power over them. And so based upon that power, he says to us, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, one of the great things about being a Christian is that when Jesus commands us to do something, he enables us to do it. With God's calling comes God's enabling. Let's say that together. With God's calling. Some of you in this room, he's called you to be a Christian husband. God will enable you to be that man. Some of you, he's called you to be a Christian parent. God will enable you to do that task. He's called us to give to his work. God will enable us to do that task. He's called us to be witnesses, and he says, I'm going to enable you to be used of me as my witness. Well, this morning we see a wonderful verse, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Notice if you have your outline this morning, the promise of power. God says, I'm going to give you the power that you need to do the work that I have called you to do. And we see in this promise a comforting promise. It is a comfort to me to know that God has promised me his presence and his power. Notice his presence in this verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. The phrase says, you shall receive. This was not something that a Christian could refuse. It was not something that they could take it or leave it later on after believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that when someone receives Christ as Savior, then the promise of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is something Jesus said. You're going to receive this. John 16 and verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, listen, I will send him unto you. And Jesus Christ has departed and is seated at the right hand of God the Father physically. And Jesus Christ has sent the Holy Spirit of God, and he indwells every believer's life today. What a comforting promise to know that you and I have in us, if you are saved, the Holy Spirit of God today. The Apostle Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? This church is not God's temple. Your body and mine are the residences of God's Spirit. He is with all of us today. Isn't that a blessing to know that he goes with us personally? It is a comforting presence to know that God is with us. Notice not only his presence, but then we see his power. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power. This word power is the word dunamis. It is the Greek word dunamis, from which the English word dynamite comes from. And Jesus says, I'm going up into heaven. Here in Acts chapter 1, he is ascending up into heaven. But he says, I'm going to leave you with my presence, with my spirit, with my power. And boy, when you read this whole book, the book of Acts, it is called the Acts of the Apostles, and it is filled with power. I mean, the Apostle Paul is bitten by a snake but lives. I mean, the jails are opened and earthquakes occur, and people's lives are touched and healed and changed, and those that are given to witchcraft and sorcery are freed from it. And throughout the book of Acts, you see power, power, power. By the way, how many of you believe we need to see God's power today? Lives changed, marriages saved, souls saved. Acts 4 and verse 31 is in your notes. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And so throughout the book of Acts, we see this manifestation of God's power. It was a comforting promise to know that God said, as my Son ascends up into heaven, I will not leave you without my presence. I will send my spirit. But notice, secondly, not only a comforting presence, but a promise, but notice in your notes, a constant presence. A constant presence. Now the Bible says here, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And what we learn in this passage is that the Holy Spirit of God would come on the day of Pentecost. He would indwell those who had been the followers of Christ. And for all who received Christ thereafter, they immediately received the Holy Spirit of God, and His presence is with us. Now, how many of you have noticed that in this world, not very many things are constant? Most of you don't hang with the friends you knew in high school, and for the most part, that's probably a pretty good thing. Friends change. Political offices change, and Lord, hasten the change. Countries and governments change. How many of you have noticed that economies change? One man said to his friend, "Who's watching over your portfolio these days?" And he said, "I don't know. I think the tidy bowl man has a pretty good view of mine." How many of you notice money comes and goes? Not a lot of things are constant. Let me say to you, friends, this morning, the presence of God in your life is a constant. It is a constant, abiding presence. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit of God will come upon you. Notice back in Matthew 28, 20 again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, notice this, I am with you always. Let's say that together. I am with you always. Listen, you can bank on this fact that if you have been born again, the Spirit of the living God has taken up residence in your life, and He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Political offices will change, finances will change, governments will change, friends will change, but Jesus never fails and His Holy Spirit will never leave you. Oh, what a blessed thought. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now the presence of God, it commences in your life at the moment of salvation. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it is because of the Spirit of God wooing you and bringing you into the family of God, and the Holy Spirit of God has placed you into the family of God, but also indwells your life, and you were born again by the Holy Spirit of God. But God doesn't want the day you were born spiritually to be the end of everything. How many of you believe that the new birth should be the beginning of everything? And He says, now that you're saved, I want you to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then He says, now that you're saved and you're walking, I want to enable you in your life to serve me more effectively. 1 Timothy 1 verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. The word enabled means to strengthen, to endue with power from on high. Someone says, Pastor Chappell, I can't witness. I don't know how to teach. I don't know what to say. Let me help you with something. It's not about your ability. It's about God enabling and helping you. That's the power for life. It's not by might nor by my power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so the promise for power found in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now notice secondly, not only the promise for power, but notice secondly, the purpose of this power. You know, there were people in the Bible who saw the Apostle Paul manifesting the power of God, and they tried to copy and mimic what he was doing so that they could use this power for their own advanced causes. But here we see that the purpose of the power is not for our cause. It's not for our own selfish resources. It is for the glory of God. Notice what it says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Let's say that phrase together. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. All right, one more time. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. All right. So the purpose of the power, first of all, is to testify of the truth. Ye shall be witnesses. And the pattern of our testifying is by way of giving a witness. Now, this is a legal term. It speaks about testifying of something you have seen, heard, or experienced. So Jesus is telling these apostles, just before he ascends up into heaven, he is telling them, now, I am going to go to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, but I'm going to give to you the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to assist you, empower you, and guide you so that you can be witnesses of everything you've seen and heard and experienced, so that the church doesn't stop with my ascension into heaven, but it begins to go forward in power because you are going to be my witnesses. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But notice this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, my friend, God says, I'm going to give you power for a purpose, all right? Power for a purpose. And the purpose is that we're to be witnesses. We're to be telling other people what happened to us. You see, I don't know how to tell somebody how to get saved. Are you saved? Tell them what happened to you. Tell them how you accepted Christ as Savior. Because God says, I'm giving you power for a purpose. And the purpose of this church and of your life and mine is to be a witness, to tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So if you're saved, then God says, I'm going to give you power to shine, and the power to shine comes from the Holy Spirit. But God says, if you hide that light, then it's hid to those that are lost. Now, many churches are hiding the light in different ways. Some churches hide the light when they emphasize Earth Day and other causes more than Jesus Christ. Some Christians hide the light because they never testify. They never pass a gospel tract. They've never been trained in evangelism. They're not testifying for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if our light is hidden, then lost people who need to know the way can't know the way because we don't know our purpose. We're not fulfilling our purpose. And so lost people stay in their lost condition because they do not see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants us to testify. You know, I have seen that when people believe in something, they get a little bit excited when they start talking about it. You talk to a Dodgers fan after the Dodgers win a game, and they just kind of get excited about it. You talk to the Lakers fan, and they're going to tell you about Kobe signed a new contract. Boy, they kind of get excited about that. Some people get excited about certain types of perfume, or others get excited about home decor. And some people, these days, people get excited about cupcakes. A lot of ladies talking about cupcakes. They get all excited about it. And it's just one thing after another. But I believe that a Christian should be mostly excited about the fact that Jesus saves. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of yesteryear, spoke to his church one time. He said, now, when you speak of heaven, let your light and let your face just light up. He said, when you speak of hell, your everyday face will do just fine. Now, there are some Christians that need to have their everyday face light up a little bit as we testify for the glory of God. Ye shall be witnesses. You see, I don't know that God can use me to be a witness. By His power, you can fulfill this purpose of being a witness. There was a boy by the name of Douglas Maurer. He was a 15-year-old boy in Missouri. He had a temperature a few years ago, 103, 104. His parents took him into the doctors. They couldn't understand. They began to run a series of tests. The doctors discovered that Douglas had leukemia. So they called his family in for a family conference. And they did not hide anything from the family. They were very thorough in the diagnosis, and they told the family that Douglas would need 2 or 3 years of chemotherapy. They said, "We're going to tell you the honest truth, Douglas. You're going to lose your hair. Your body's going to swell up. There's going to be a lot of side effects. It's going to be a very difficult time." Douglas really struggled with that. They hadn't sugarcoated the news. Douglas went really into a state of depression. He tried not to be discouraged, but he was very, very depressed. His aunt in another state heard that Douglas was having a hard time, and during one of his stays in the hospital, she decided to send him some flowers, and the flowers came, and Douglas saw them. He saw the note from his aunt, and that was all right. But then he saw another note right next to the note from his aunt, and that note said, "Douglas, I work at Bree Florist. I took your order. I had leukemia when I was 7. I'm 22 now. My heart goes out to you. Good luck, Laura Bradley." They said when Douglas got the little note from Laura, his whole countenance changed. A smile came over his face. Something about that little note changed his outlook. He was in a hospital with millions of dollars of equipment, surrounded by doctors with hundreds of years of experience, but a 22-year-old girl who made $170 a week, by taking a moment to show compassion, touched that man's life. I want you to know this morning that you don't have to have a theological degree and you don't have to be a Christian of some 20 years for God to use you to touch someone's life. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you live or how much you make, that any one of you in the power of the Spirit of God could touch somebody's life for eternity this month. Someone said, "Compassion is your hurt in my heart." Instead of getting mad at the neighbors, how about having compassion on them? Instead of getting frustrated at the neighborhood, how about trying to tell others about Jesus Christ this month? That's the pattern. You shall be witnesses. This is your purpose in life. Notice again the verse, please, verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Notice this. "And ye shall be." Would you say that with me? "And ye shall be." "And ye shall be." It does not say you shall do witnessing. It says you shall be. God has created you as a human being. He wants you to be something for Him and through Him. And the main reason He has left us on this planet is that we might be witnesses for Him. Hey, how many of you have lived long enough to figure out as a Christian, it's not all about me, it's all about Him. You shall be witnesses. If you ever look at the verse when you come into this church above the fireplace, it says, Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that verse begins by speaking about our conversation, which is our lifestyle. And in essence, the verse says, our whole lifestyle should be about getting the gospel out, striving together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is the will of God, especially in this moment in which we live, that we would live every day ready to witness, ready to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching today in a series entitled Power for Life. Friend, the power to live beyond your capacity begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, you can enter into that relationship by faith. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's not about religion or tradition or structure. It's not about earning it by being good. It's about entering into it by faith because of the grace and mercy of God. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we encourage you to do so right now. Bow your head and heart, pray a simple prayer of faith, confessing to Jesus Christ that you believe that He is God, that He rose from the dead after dying on the cross for your sins. Invite Him into your life to be your Savior once and for all. Before we close today's edition of Daily in the Word, I do want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find out more about this series. You can listen to recent programs or broadcasts. There are many other resources when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Two books that are companions to this series that Dr. Chappell has written recently. The first is entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. It's a paperback book that studies in depth the ministry and life of the Holy Spirit within you. It's a powerful companion to this series, Power for Life. Also, a new book entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a hardback book written in an allegory form that will rivet you, capture you, captivate you, and then it will challenge you to give your burdens to the burden bearer. Dr. Chappell invites you to join us for the Alaska cruise August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Again, that's 2014. You'll enjoy 7 days of admiring God's beautiful creation in Alaska, enjoying the fellowship of believers and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. More information is found at dailyintheword.org, and we hope you'll plan now to join us for a wonderful time together aboard the Alaska cruise August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.